The following podcast is part of the Underdog Sports Podcast Network. For advertising information or to find more great podcasts, visit us at www.theunderdogsports.com and follow us on Twitter at RealTheUnderdog.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Get Paid, your one-stop shop for all things fantasy, gambling, and daily fantasy. We are proud partners of Underdog Podcasts. You can also find us on Podcast One. You can also stream us on YouTube. I got through that as fast as I could. You're listening as usual to Sean and Brad. Brad, how you doing, my friend?
I'm great, brother. How you doing today?
I'm doing well. I've been scouring Bovada Sportsbook all morning, as I usually do on Tuesdays when we record these. So this week, I think, is a little bit easier than last week. Although last week, I felt great about a lot of our bets, and I ended up going, like, in my big pool, I ended up going not so well. So that's unfortunate. I'm still above the pay line, you know, for the year and all that. These weeks will happen, but it's weird. Like, 2 weeks ago, I did really well, and I felt bad about the bets. Last week, I felt great about it, and I did awful. So... So it goes, the life of a gambler, Brad.
Yeah, the life of a gambler, for sure.
So let's see. You know what? We have, what is it, like 13-ish games or something like that? We have a lot of teams in the AFC and NFC East on bye week this week, but let's just jump in, Brad. You cool with that?
Okay. I'm good with that. Let's roll.
All right. So first game of the week is Thursday Night Football. According to Bovada, this is the LA Chargers -1 at the Oakland Raiders.
Ah, you know what? I think that... I think the Chargers played a really good game, and they're a good team. You know, they look good against Green Bay. They weren't supposed to have a record like this, right? They were supposed to compete for the division. They were also supposed to win games like Sunday at home,
right?
So maybe they're riding the ship, and I think they go into Oakland and handle business.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Oakland's kind of a weird – I'm sorry, L.A. is kind of a weird
team. They're both weird.
Yeah, like Oakland, I think they're just a young team and they're kind of building towards something. They've had some injuries. The Chargers are weird because I think they have a ton of talent and I think are poorly coached. And yeah, they fired Wiz and Hunt before that game. Maybe that gave them some juice against Green Bay. But then they came out – I guess their defense has always been intact. It's the offense that's been the issue for the Chargers.
Yeah.
Because they really – like what they did to Green Bay like shocked me, frankly. Like I thought, you know, if Green Bay lost a close game, that would be one thing, but they were never in it, man. It's like they never got off the plane.
No. Yeah, they got punched in the mouth. That was a weird one.
Dominated that game. Oakland last week, I think I kind of was dialed in to them pretty well. They had that game against Detroit. Oakland has some issues in the secondary, but their passing attack is just a different passing attack once Tyrell Williams is in there, which is kind of weird to say because like Tyrell Williams for the Chargers in recent seasons, I didn't really think he was like anything special, but he's a difference maker on this Raiders team. And you got to think if Antonio Brown could have kept his damn head on his shoulders, like this would have been a scary.
Not a good
offense, a scary offense for Oakland, which is interesting.
That's a good point.
Yeah, I mean, Josh Jacobs, I think, is sound. Like, he got two touchdowns last week. I like these Gruden teams, man, because they play balance. They play like an older, like the football that you and I grew up watching, Brad, like when we were in our teens and stuff. They commit to the run, and then, you know, everything kind of feeds off of that. And I always say that, like, when a team commits to just running the ball up the middle, it fatigues the defensive line. Like, the bubble screen is not the same thing as a run. People are like, oh, you just screen pass. It's not the same thing because it takes a physical toll when you have a 330-pound guy pushing on you all game, right, buddy?
And here's the thing is there's one thing that will never change with the game of football. If you can run the ball well, you can pass the ball well.
Yes. Yes.
You know, and that's always a formula that's going to work. 100%.
And you look at exactly, and you look at a team this year like the LA Rams who can't get the damn run game going, and you look at the Bengals, they can't get the run game going.
They
struggle and it's like they're in these dogfights. Well, I thought, you know, I think Oakland's good. I'm starting to believe more and more in them as I go through. I think Oakland's going to win this game outright, and I think that, you know, yeah, I know the talent that the Chargers have had, but we've seen this with this coaching staff year in and year out. They lose games they should win, and I don't even think they should. I think they're kind of an even match. I love the juice that the Oakland crowd gives the Oakland Raiders.
Yep.
I'm going to take Oakland to win this game outright, assuming, of course, Josh Jacobs plays. He's on the injury. This is the time of year everybody's on the injury report, but I think they're going to be able to run. And how do you attack a really good, strong defensive pass rush and defensive line to the Chargers? You run at them. And I know the Raiders can do that. So I'm going to take the Raiders in this game, and I'm going to take them to cover the spread. From a fantasy football point of view, I think that the Chargers passing game, because of the weaker, I would say, Oakland secondary, is going to be able to get some yardage. So I like Rivers. I like Keenan Allen this week, maybe even Mike Williams, maybe Hunter Henry. The running backs, I don't love Melvin Gordon this week, but I do like Austin Eckler again because he's kind of a pass catcher. For Oakland, I think Carr, you know, doesn't have that great of a game. I'm thinking like 1 to 1.5 touchdowns, but I think Jacobs has a really nice game. Terrell Williams, and that both tight ends there, I think, are going to have nice games in Foster Moreau and Darren Waller. Next game on our list, Brad, interesting one to me too. So Tampa Bay, this game's in Tampa Bay. Bovada has Arizona +4.5 at Tampa Bay. So Bruce Arians playing his old team. Tampa Bay coming off of an interesting game where they pushed the Seahawks to overtime. What do you think about this
right,
one?
Right. Ah, you know what? I don't know what to make of Tampa at all.
Right.
And like ever. I just don't know what they are. Are they super talented and underperforming, or do they have no talent and they're overperforming? I don't right? I don't know what this team
they're
is.
They're in an Enigma. You can make a different argument for this team every week.
Every single week.
So like you know, like to begin the week I do these fantasy football fallout shows, Brad. You've seen them, and then I hand out the awards. And this week, I gave out like a superlative to Jameis Winston, the Jekyll and Hyde quarterback of the week. I don't know what the, and I think that's what the like Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You don't know what this team is because you don't know what Jameis Winston's going to do week to week. This week he didn't throw an interception. I think he had a lost fumble, but two touchdowns or something like that. No picks. And then Tampa Bay pushes a really good team to overtime. This week, Arizona, that he could throw three picks at home. I don't know. I'm certainly not going to bet on the Tampa Bay Bucs. Right? I mean, how can you?
Right. No, never. No, you can't. They'll it's because it's impossible to pinpoint which way they're going.
It is. So I'm gonna take Arizona +4.5. I think this is a field goal game anyway, one way or the other. So 4.5, I think Arizona to cover this spread all day. And I actually have Arizona winning this game a little bit. But what about you?
Yeah, I like Arizona.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah, from a fantasy football point of view, I think Kyler Murray has a really nice game this week. I think that assuming David Johnson plays, he has a nice game. If he doesn't, I think he can start Kenyon Drake. And I actually like both receivers, Christian Kirk and Larry Fitzgerald, this week for Tampa. I mean, I think Jameis Winston's going to have a nice game. I think. He should be a great start. He should be one of the top quarterbacks this week. But again, you just never really know. I'll circulate him in some of my daily fantasy lineups, but I wouldn't. Gosh, even if he's on your team, his projection's so good. And I like Evans and Godwin, and I don't like anybody else from either one of these teams. Next game on the list, Brad, we have Atlanta +13 at New Orleans, both teams coming off a bye week. Matt Ryan's questionable.
Did Atlanta fall off or what, man? They turned into something terrible.
Here's my thought on Atlanta, buddy. I think that they should fire Dan Quinn and promote Dirk Cutter to interim head coach, because here's the thing. If you know Dan Quinn's getting fired, right? I mean, is there any argument that Dan Quinn keeps his job at this point?
Well, how long has he been there?
Is this like his fourth or fifth year? And he hasn't had success in two or three seasons, maybe two. Ever since that 28-6 comeback for the Patriots, this Atlanta team is just not – it's like they – you know, it's like right then they needed a new change or something. But I feel like Atlanta, they're going to fire Cutter – or fire – what's his face? Dan Quinn, and they're going to promote Cutter next year. Why not do it now and see if that's really what you want to do? That's kind of my feeling. But I don't know. Do you think Atlanta +13 has any shot at covering the spread?
No.
You neither do I.
No, I think New Orleans takes it. It's in New Orleans, correct?
Yes.
You know, the only saving grace would be the division games. You know, those are always a little bit more competitive no matter – you know, it's like no matter how terrible Detroit is, Green Bay is going to have a difficult time in Detroit, right? But I think New Orleans is a fantastic team. I think they take it.
Yeah, they're number two on my power rankings this week. I have New Orleans 40, Atlanta 20. Drew Brees is back. I think Kamara will be back. I'm assuming he will. I checked the injury report. I thought he was questionable, but I think he'll be back after the bye week. Fantasy-wise, I think this is a decent game for Matt Ryan, even though I don't think they'll really be in it. I think you start Julio. I think you start Ridley. I think you start Austin Hooper. Like the chipmunks. New Orleans, you start Drew Brees, you start Kamara, assuming he's playing. If not, you start Murray. Mike Thomas, definitely. maybe Jared Cook if he plays. I know he's questionable as well. Next game, Brad, Baltimore minus 10 at Cincinnati, coming off a bye week. The Red Rifle has been benched. Ryan Finley will now be playing quarterback for the Cincinnati Bengals. Once again, Baltimore, according to Bovada, minus 10.
I got to go Baltimore on that one, man. And it's not because they just beat New England and they looked really good doing it. It's because they're a much more disciplined, aggressive, and better team than Cincinnati. Even if they hadn't just beaten New England like that, I think I'd still go the way of Baltimore. You?
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, that New England game, we said it last week. I felt like Baltimore matched up really well with New England. New England right now has shown like a weakness in just running the ball up the middle. We saw it with Buffalo, Frank Gore. We saw it with Cleveland with Nick Chubb, although Chubb fumbled two times. And so I wasn't shocked. And keep in mind, too, Baltimore won that game. I think Lamar Jackson still only had 160-yard passing. That's how physically dominant Baltimore was, and that's a big deal. That's a big deal. It's not really a slight at Lamar Jackson so much as it is Baltimore didn't have to pass. And some of it, too, is New England kind of locked down Marquise Brown and Mark Andrews, but so on. But I digress. This game, I'm sorry, a rookie or a first-time starting quarterback, to me, this is Zach Taylor trying to save his job. Is like he knows that he sucks as a head coach, so let's just throw the rookie and see if I get two wins and maybe make a case to save my job. They can't get anything going against the run. Baltimore's defense is better after they got Peters in that trade from the Rams. They've been playing really, really good. I just don't see any way Cincinnati covers this. I don't like the line, but this is one of my favorite bets of the week. I don't love laying 10 points, but, man, that's a nice – Baltimore's the number one scoring offense in the league.
Is that true?
Yeah. Yeah, they were number two. Too. They just surpassed New England. And keep in mind, New England has a lot of points per game because of the defense scoring.
Right.
Yeah, Baltimore, number one scoring team in the league this year.
Phenomenal.
And they're doing it just by slugging people. Did we watch, Brad, was that the game? No, we watched Cleveland-Baltimore.
I watched Cleveland, which is the biggest anomaly of the entire season. Right?
I know. We can see we got some really interesting games this week. I'll mark off Baltimore. You pick Baltimore. Just quickly, dude, we have just as a little teaser here. We have Detroit-Chicago, which I love. We have Buffalo, Cleveland, which we're going to talk about next. But anyway, let me get to the fantasy stuff here. Baltimore, Lamar Jackson, definite start. Mark Ingram, definite start. I like Brown. My projections have him lower, but I like Marquise Brown to score well this week, and I like Mark Andrews to get back in the end zone. For Cincinnati, I don't like anybody in Cincinnati. I'm sorry. AJ Green could be back, but a rookie or like a first-time starting quarterback, I'm not into it. Sorry. I just don't start anybody for Cincinnati this week. I have some decent projections for Boyd. I have a decent projection for AJ Green, but that quarterback situation just scares the crap out of me. All right, next game on the list here, Brad. We have Buffalo, according to Bovada, plus 2.5 at Cleveland.
I like Buffalo for sure.
I don't understand why Cleveland is giving 2.5 here.
I don't either.
Look, Cleveland, we said this last week. I thought Cleveland was due. I didn't, no disrespect to the Broncos because I like what they're doing defensively, but they're playing that rookie quarter. Buffalo's a better team than Denver, and Denver dominated Cleveland. Now, I know they're going back to Cleveland, but here's the thing is I think the crowd there isn't, I think they're pissed.
They're ready to give up. They're angry. They're ready to boo.
And I think that they are ready to boo. That is a perfect way to put it. They're ready to let Kitchens have it. As I've been saying and you've been saying for weeks and maybe even months at this point, fire Freddie Kitchens. You got to get rid of him. Rip the Band-Aid off. Baker Mayfield looks defeated in these press conferences that he's having, dude. Did you see that mustache? He looked like Uncle Buck. I loved it.
Yeah, and then he changed it.
Did he?
He shaved it at the half or something weird. I heard that. I heard someone say
get the bad vibes out.
He did something awful where he rocked it, and then, when you're losing...
Oh, I think he had a Fu Manchu, and then he cleaned it up. Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, if you're losing, everything you do that's outlandish, you look like a complete dick.
Yeah, right.
If you're winning, everything's okay.
Yeah,
you know?
You're right.
See Terrell Owens, see Antonio Brown, right?
Yep.
You can't just do all this extroverted, fun stuff.
Well, but yeah, but he's. I would say this is at this point for Mr. Mayfield. Like, I don't think he's coming out and being brash anymore. Like after they won that game when I was in Miami with you, and they won that Baltimore game. Like he was like puffing his chest out because I think they were 2-2 at that point or something like that. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. You know, the rails have just been coming off. And like you said, man, Cleveland's crowd—they're just ready to boo. And this is a kitchen situation, man. Like that, I think they're leading the league. I think it last week I talked about I didn't look this week yet, but they were leading the league in penalty yards. It was like 85 penalty yards a game they're giving up. That's like a quarter of an offense.
It's terrible.
It's just the discipline's bad. I've been saying this. I've been beating this drum. It's never going to happen, but hire Mike Shanahan. That would be a perfect pairing for this offense and the talent that they have in the offense. All they would need is one big receiver to go with that to complement. Oh my gosh, but it's never going to happen. But Cleveland, I'm rooting for Cleveland. I'm not trying to throw shade at the city of Cleveland. I want them to be a good team. And I like Baker Mayfield when he's a little cocky. It's kind of funny to watch and fun to watch, but oh boy, the rails fell off. So yeah, we're both on Buffalo, getting 2 points, 2.5 points at Cleveland. I think Josh Allen's a start. I think Singletary's a start. I think John Brown's a start. Cleveland.
I mean, I think Buffalo beats the crap out of them.
I don't see how the Cleveland team, like, here's the thing.
I don't think they match up.
Well, if they run the ball, and they tried to run the ball last week against Denver, and Denver's defense is better than advertised. They're starting to come around like we thought they would.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Nick Chubb is the only thing. Buffalo's shown a susceptibility to giving up rushing yards. Like, even Adrian Peterson, when Washington had no hope to pass the ball, so Buffalo could have stacked the box all game if they felt like it, Adrian Peterson was still got, like, you know, pretty decent yardage. So, you know, if Cleveland commits to Nick Chubb, I could see the argument. I could, but I don't think it's a very strong argument. I do think Chubb is a start for what that's worth, and I think you got to start Beckham. But here's an interesting stat for you. Hunter Renfro, rookie wide receiver for the Oakland Raiders, Brad, more touchdown passes or receptions this year than Odell Beckham. Yikes. Right?
Yikes is right. Yikes is right.
We called it, though. We called it. You can't add all these personalities brash. We called it.
It doesn't work that way, man. It
doesn't.
Does not work that way.
In the history of the NFL, it has never worked, except for maybe.
It's never worked that way.
Maybe the signing of Deion Sanders for both the 49ers and the Cowboys in the 90s. But it's not like either team went on huge spending sprees. They just signed Deion Sanders.
Yeah.
And just not a recipe for success, man.
Correct. 100%.
Yep. All right, man. So next game on the list, we have interesting one near and dear to your heart. We have Carolina +5 at Green Bay, Brad.
I think that Green Bay covers.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, I do. I think they're going to bounce back and have a great day. Last week was just I don't remember. It happens, right?
Yeah.
Just once a year you get the crap beat out of you. You don't know how it happened. And then once a year you beat the crap out of some team and you don't know how it happened.
You're right.
Out of nowhere. Like, those two games will happen every season, you know?
Unless you're the Cincinnati Bengals, but yeah.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I'd like to think that last week was just one of those days where it got away from you, or before you knew it, you weren't as ready as you should have been, and you move on.
So I do these, Brad, you know this too. I do these deep dives. After we do this, these are kind of the quick, you know, cut-ups, the pick against the spread. And then I take, you know, a number of games every week, and I dive deep. And I looked at that Chargers-Green Bay matchup after we spoke, and I thought, wow, the Chargers statistically, like if you look at the matchup, they actually match up really well against Green Bay. And so I was actually expecting a little bit closer of a game than when you and I had first talked on Tuesday. I was not expecting Green Bay just to get, you know, basically wedgied for four quarters. And that's
they
kind
did
of what
get
happened.
Wedgied, man.
Yeah, they got the swirly, nothing. They got the wedgie, they got everything. But you're right, though. This is a good team.
It is a good team. There's nothing wrong with the Chargers, and they're underperforming.
They are.
I mean, they were supposed to be competing with the Chiefs for that division.
And if you had paid attention to this Chargers defense, they've been playing pretty well.
Right.
So, you know, it's not all that shocking. What worries me about Green Bay is they have some troubling statistics. I think it's their third down percentage. I'd have to double check. For anybody who's watching, I'm going to have a deep dive in this game too. Yeah, their third down percentage is a little iffy, and maybe they're – I think their red zone percentage is fantastic in terms of getting touchdowns, but the third down percentage was iffy. And so then you think about, oh gosh, you know, if a team can get them into like third and long, you know, do they have the plays dialed? But anyway, let me talk about Carolina for a little bit. Carolina comes out, and I thought that they were going to have their hands full with Tennessee, and they throttled Tennessee. Now, Green Bay's a lot better than Tennessee, I think, but I think this is a close game. I do think the Packers rebound. I do think the Packers win by like 2 points, 3 points, but five to me is a lot, so I'm going to take Carolina to cover the game, cover the spread. I'm going to take Green Bay to win the game, and I think it's going to be a fun game to watch because Carolina's defense is good, man. I think they match up well. I think they have a nice pass rush, and I think they force turnovers. That's what you want out of defense. And it's hard for teams to stop Christian McCaffrey.
I think McCaffrey has the chance to have a great day.
Yeah.
Because Green Bay's defense, however great, vastly improved from last year, gives up big chunk plays sometimes.
And
still.
McCaffrey will live off that. I'm looking at his projection. He might be – I'm looking through. He is my number one projected running back this week, actually, against this Green Bay Packers team. And I have him get in the end zone 2 to 3 times. So, you know the Packers are going to have to put up, I think, more than 24 to win this game. In fact, I wrote down 26-24. So, but they can. They can do that. From a fantasy point of view, I don't start Allen. I do start McCaffrey, as I said. I think you can start Moore. I don't start Samuel. I do start Greg Olsen. For the Green Bay Packers, I like Aaron Rodgers, but he's more of a fringe start for me this week. I think this game is all about Aaron Jones and what can he do against this Carolina defensive line. I think Jamal Williams has a chance to get in the end zone this week. I like Davante Adams. I'm glad to see that he's not on the injury report this week. But somebody, Brad, somebody in Green Bay, they have to step up at wide receiver behind Davante Adams. I was looking
Go ahead. Right. The last two starts for Davante, Philly, and they haven't lost with, or they haven't won with him in the lineup all of a sudden.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm sure there's no correlation to that, but I'm just saying, like, yeah.
They need
What's happening with them in there? They need something for sure.
Valdez Scantling, I was looking for a little bit more out of him. They need something. You know who really impressed me? Is it Lazard? Is that how you pronounce his name?
Yeah. He's a big dude.
He looks good. I think he should be the number. When I watch these games, he pops every time he's in the game.
Right,
Rodgers
and
likes
I agree.
Him. He's a big dude. I like
but
him.
But I think I agree. But I think you just take last game and you just chuck it. You wad it up and you chuck it out, and then you use a 15-game sample set for how they really are.
You're right.
I think so anyway.
Yeah, I agree. And my computer, my analytics, to your point, once you kind of take the emotion and all that stuff out of it, my computers do line up for Green Bay pretty convincingly. So there you go. Next game on the list, Brad, we have Detroit, according to Bovada, +3 at Chicago.
Man. For as bad as Green Bay looked, Chicago looked worse.
And they've looked worse weeks
in a row.
But they
looked worse. That wasn't
for
new for them. Right, for a long time. That wasn't new. Jeez, man. Are they still going with my buddy
Turd Biscuit?
Turd Biscuit.
Are
they still going with Turd Biscuit?
I haven't heard otherwise.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay. Are we all just pointing the finger at him, or is he the reason they stink?
There's some talk about Matt Nagy's offense is too predictable, too. All along is that they haven't involved Tarik Cohen. Last year, Tarik Cohen was getting 15 touches a game, and he was a factor in the running and the passing game. This week or this year, they're not really using him, and I don't understand why. I don't get it. He's probably the biggest spark in their offense, and they're not using him. Or maybe they just can't get him the ball. I don't know.
Yeah, it's not working. Whatever the formula it is, right? The equation is, it's not adding up.
And we talked about this before the season too. I do think that when Fangio left to become the head coach of the Denver Broncos, I do think that it was a slight downgrade in what's his face, Pagano, coming in there. Mm-hmm. You can't replace a really great head coach and the chemistry he has and knowing the players. It that takes time to build. Pagano, he's got a little bit, even though they're similar schemes, he's just different. And so this Bears defense, as lights out, and they're still a great unit. They're great, but they're not as dominant as they were last year. And there could be more factors to that. We saw this in 2018 with the Jaguars, Trubisky's inability to push the chains and keep the offense on the field.
You can't be dominant. It makes the defense tired. And if you're always behind on field position, it's going to, the offense helps the defense and vice versa. Yeah. And the Bears had zero offense for weeks now.
Weeks. Weeks?
Weeks, man. So that Bears defense could even be better, but come on.
Agreed. I don't think they can overcome. Yeah, exactly. You know, this defense, and we're seeing Jacksonville kind of rebound a little bit from last year, and of course trading Jalen Ramsey doesn't help, but you know, Chicago, they still have Mac, they still have great pieces. I think this is a great defense, but you can't rely on this defense to hold every team to 10 points a game when they're on the field for, you know, however long they are a game. It's just not realistic. And I think, you know, we're getting, I'll say this, when we post these videos, we're getting less and less arguments about this when we talk about this week to week. But, you know, Trubisky, turd biscuit. I actually like that. I like that phrase we came up with. It's like Seabiscuit, but, you know, it's a crappy quarterback instead. So I'm assuming you're taking Detroit, Brad?
I'll take Detroit, yeah, I will.
I'm surprised. Look, I know it's Chicago at home, but, you know, Detroit's offense is scoring a lot of points.
Yeah.
I don't see Chicago being as good as the defense is. You know, I feel like the defense or the special teams, they have to score a touchdown for the Bears to cover this spread. And certainly winning the turnover battle is crucial. Fantasy-wise, I still respect the Bears' defense. I think this will be a tougher matchup for Detroit. I have Stafford, as great as he's been playing, as a fringe start this year or this week. I don't like either really one of the running backs. I do think Galladay and Jones will have decent games. For Chicago, you can't start Trubisky. David Moore is an okay. Tarik Cohen should get an opportunity to get in the end zone if they give him the damn ball. And Allen Robinson will have a shot to have a really nice game, and maybe even Taylor Gabriel if you're desperate on waivers. All right, Brad, next game on our list, we have the Kansas City Chiefs -4.5. Now, this is a line that I had to scrape out and find because the Mahomes thing is still up in the air. Sure. Kansas City Chiefs -4.5 at Tennessee. I'm assuming Patrick Mahomes will start because this is the game that the Chiefs have always been slated. Now, the Chiefs won against Minnesota, so maybe they'll say, maybe. But, you know, this Chiefs team, I believe they're a three-loss.
So.
Huh?
I don't think they will. I think they will start him as soon as possible.
I agree. I agree with
100%
you.
100% because
Would you do that? Would you start him?
Yeah, I would.
You would?
He's a young guy, dude. He's young.
Yeah, that's fair. That's a fair point.
You know, if it was Aaron Rodgers, maybe my logic is off. But Aaron's 35, and I think Mahomes is not even 25. So, you know, he's got a little bit of superhuman in him. So even if the thing is not completely healed, he's fine. He's fine.
And it was, what was it, a fractured kneecap, right? It wasn't like it was out and back in. You need a kneecap anyway, really?
You don't need a kneecap. No. I mean, come on. You got another one on the other side.
that's how I always talk about my kidneys when I go out drinking on Saturday. I got two. That's why you get two.
Exactly. Listen, I think they start him as soon as possible.
Yeah.
And it's not like they're playing Cincinnati or the Chiefs are not right now. They're not cruising like New Orleans is with their backup.
Right.
They're not. Okay. They lost against Green Bay.
Yeah.
They almost just lost.
Yeah.
They need to get them in there and build that momentum again.
I'm on the fence. What's what fell down there?
Cal helmet. Bad omen.
Bad omen. Can I go back to Carolina in that Green Bay game?
Yeah. My cousin's wife is asking me for these helmets. She's been asking them for like a year and a half. And like every 2 months, he'll be like, "Yo, dude, you think you could mail me those helmets?"
You're like, oh,
yeah. I'll say, "What's your address?" And he'll send it in the text, and I'll reply, "LOL."
LOL, what a jerk.
What a dick.
What a jerk. Dude, Tennessee, back to the game. Tennessee, look, I like this team. I was surprised. I thought Tennessee would have a better game against the Carolina Panthers last week. I still like Tannehill, but what ended up happening, what was the difference? Tannehill had two interceptions against Carolina. When Tannehill has a clean stat sheet, Tennessee's very hard to beat, I think. It'll be an interesting game. If Mahomes plays, I would take that. I would take the Kansas City Chiefs in this game, 4.5. If he doesn't play, I would still flirt with taking Kansas City with Matt Moore. You know, here's the thing is Kansas City, I actually think this Mahomes injury, assuming that he can recover and be fine by the end of the season, I actually think this that injury might have helped Kansas City a little bit. Because this defense, while Mahomes has been out, this defense has been playing and had to play like tough, and they've been gaining confidence. And I think they're getting better.
Yeah. Spagnuolo, there's silver linings to everything. Yeah.
And people forget, like, Spagnuolo is in his first year there. It's going to take a little while. It's a new scheme. It's going to take a while to gel. And they brought Spagnuolo in there because he's the Patriot beater from his time in New York. So I like what they're doing. I really do. And, you know, Kansas City, I'll take them. And if Mahomes is playing -4.5, I'll take that for sure.
I'll take that.
Fantasy-wise, I think you start either quarterback, obviously Mahomes. But Matt Moore, I think, would be a start this week, especially in daily fantasy. I don't really like either one of these running backs for Kansas City, although both of them have decent projections. I just don't like them. But if I had to pick one, it would be LeSean McCoy. Don't go crazy on Damian Williams when you look at his stat line from last week. Most of that was on one carry. That's not going to happen every week. Against Minnesota, it was kind of a fluke carry, honestly. Tyreek Hill, I think, is a great play. Sammy Watkins is a borderline play. I think Travis Kelce is a great play this week. For Tannehill, I think he's a fringe start. I think you definitely start Derrick Henry. And I'm staying away from everybody outside of maybe look for the injury report, Jonnu Smith or Delanie Walker. Pay attention to who's going to be starting there at the tight end position. They're kind of a fringe maybe pickup off of the waiver start. Next game on the list, Brad, we have the New York Giants -2.5. The Giants are favorites. Playing away, but basically at home. They're playing the Jets. It's a Jets home game, but they're playing, you know, in New York.
Yeah, right. I like the Jets, man.
Do you? You're going to take the Jets to bounce back.
Yeah. I think they're capable. I think they're due.
The Jets, what concerns me is when Mosley got hurt in on, like, the defensive side of the ball, and he's still out, I believe. This defense, like, can't really get anything going. The Giants, yeah. Daniel Jones. Look, do I love this game? I'm going to probably stay away from it, but I do believe that the Giants are the better team right now. I don't think that Adam Gase is in it over his head. I'm seeing a lot of press. This team lost Sam Darnold for 3 games, and we're playing their third string quarterback. Like, this team isn't as bad as advertised, but at the same time, I still think the Giants are a little bit ahead of them. I'll take the Giants in this game, but I don't love it. I do think there will be some points, though. I think Jones is a fringe start. You got to start Barkley. If Shepard can play, I think you start Sterling Shepard. I think actually, like, all the receivers for the Giants, including Slayton and including Golden Tate. I actually think that matchup wise, Evan Ingram isn't as good, but I think you got to play him if he's on your team.
Yep.
For the Jets, Le'Veon Bell, Jameson Crowder, maybe Robbie Anderson, nobody else. But keep an eye out for Chris Herndon. If Herndon plays, I would risk him in some lineups if you're desperate for a waiver pickup or some daily fantasy lineups, because I think he's better than Ryan Griffin once he finally gets back in there. Miami, Brad, coming off their victory, which we called, it was one of the ones we got right last week. Miami +10.5 at Indianapolis. Let me run down the Indianapolis injuries for you. T.Y. Hilton's out. Jacoby Brissett has a knee injury. I'm assuming he's going to be out, but we don't know that yet. He's still questionable. So that looks like Brandon Hoyer's playing at quarterback. Their second receiver, Paris Campbell's out. So basically you're looking at 3 backup receivers and most likely a backup quarterback for Indy. The game is in Indy. Once again, Miami +10.5 according to Bovada at Indianapolis.
I like Miami to cover. Miami is like the Rudy Rudiger of the NFL.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
Just, you know, like, they're just like pushing as hard as they can, but they don't have like the God-given talent.
The little engine that could.
Yeah, to really truly compete, but man, do they try their absolute best.
They do. That's character, man. They're building good character. I've been saying that for, a month or so. They're building really good character. You see them. They're playing hard, and they just don't have the talent. That's it.
Yeah, they just don't have the talent, but they seem to want to play for each other, and they want to compete, and I like them to cover, man, and I think they could have had a couple more victories or at least covers under their belt to this point, and they'll get this one. I like it.
So look at the energy between the Miami Dolphins, who are, 1-7-ish, 1-8-ish, something like that, and then you look at the energy with the Cleveland Browns and Freddie Kitchens.
Yeah, right.
Polar opposite. You look at the energy in Cincinnati with Zach Taylor. Completely different. Miami, I really believe that this team is moving forward positively, even though they're not getting wins. We knew that they were going to struggle this year, and they do, man. I think they've covered 3 out of the last 3 weeks. 10.5, I think this game should probably be – this line to me should be about 8.5. maybe even 7.5. So I like the value for Miami. I still think Indianapolis wins this game. I think it's going to be a tough game. I respect the Indianapolis coaching staff to no end. I think they'll figure out a way to get it done, even without Brissett. Hoyer actually played really nice against the Steelers, I thought, too. Yeah, I think Indianapolis wins, but 10.5 mm-hmm. is too much for me, especially mm-hmm. if Brissett is out. Fantasy wise, I'm looking at Mark Walton suspended for 4 games, so it's going to be Kalen Ballage. Potato potato. I don't like him. Preston Williams is now out, so it's really Devontae Parker, maybe Mike Gesicki, because you got to find some people to throw to. For Indianapolis, I would flirt with starting Hoyer, especially in some daily fantasy lineups. Mac is a start. I guess you got to look at Zach Pascal at receiver, because he's the primary receiver now. I think really this means Doyle and Ebron will probably be used a little bit more. It's going to be like a 2 tight end type game for me. Okay, next game, Brad. We have 3 left. We have the LA Rams coming off a bye week, -4 at the Pittsburgh Steelers.
You know what? I was wrong last week about Pittsburgh. I thought they were just going to let the whole thing get away from them. But
dude, man, now they're 4-4.
I know they're 4-4. They're still in there, right? There's nothing wrong with 4-4, right?
They're in the thick of things.
Yeah,
respect
so
to them,
man. And I'll give it to them. So you know what? I'm going to be back on Pittsburgh. Let me take them. I think structurally they may be sound.
Yeah, I don't know. So I'm going to pick the Rams, and this is more because I have to think that McVay can figure some stuff out on a bye week. I have to think that. I have to think that, like, maybe he goes in and he's looking at other offensive schemes, like blocking schemes and stuff. It's like, how can I get Todd Gurley to get 80 yards? You know, like, how can I get him going? I have to think that the Rams can win this game. They're a good road team. I have the Rams 27-20. I'm not betting on this game, okay? Like, Pittsburgh's been playing really well as of late. Ever since they made the change in their offensive philosophy, and they've been throwing more to the running backs to help Mason Rudolph. You know, Jalen Samuels had like 13 catches out of the backfield. James Conner's hurt. He might be back in. He's got that shoulder issue. You know, either way, the Pittsburgh's gotta be using the running backs. I think they will, but the Rams defense will be ready for that. So I think the Rams are going to probably lock up those running backs. I think that they're going to make Pittsburgh throw over the top to Deontay Johnson, Smith-Schuster, Washington. And I don't think that Mason Rudolph would be able to do that this week. But it's an interesting game. I'm definitely going to have it on my watch list. It's just I got to think my analytics don't like it, but I got to think the Rams can figure it out. So this is McVay. This is your one last shot with me. You better make it happen.
He's on thin ice, right?
Yeah, he's on thin ice with me. Yeah. He's starting to piss me off. Fantasy wise, I think Goff is a fringe start this week, but you got to start him. Who else? I don't like Gurley this week. I like Cooper Kupp quite a bit. I like Robert Woods, and I actually like
I love Cooper Kupp. Man.
Cooper Kupp's baller, right? You know why? Because he reminds you of Jordy Nelson. That's why you like him.
That may be it, man. And he's got like he's got a little country in him, right? And there's something about that I dig, dude.
Dude, he's such a difference maker in this team. People slept on him before this season. I had him high in my fantasy rankings because, you know, Goff just likes throwing to him. He trusts him in the red zone. That's a big deal in fantasy football. You know, if a guy trusts you in the red zone, even if you're covered, he's going to give you a shot, and that's a big deal.
It doesn't hurt that his name is Cooper Kupp. I mean, that's a fantastic name, right?
It is a name.
It just rolls. I dig that guy. He balls out.
It's almost like a Marvel character, like the alter.
I know.
Like he's like an accountant by day and a baller by night. Gerald Everett, I think, is actually a start and a touchdown candidate this week for Pittsburgh. I don't like Rudolph. I do like whatever running back plays, whether it's Jalen Samuels, whether it's James Conner. And if both of them play, I think you could start both of them. Smith-Schuster is a fringe start for me. This offense is running through the running backs now, and for good reason. I do think that Vance McDonald has a chance to get in the end zone. 2 games left, Brad. We have Sunday Night Football, nationally televised game. Emphasis on nationally televised, Brad. We have Minnesota +3 at Dallas.
Dallas.
You know Vikings fans hate you. They hate you, Brad.
I know. I hate them right back, dude. Hate them right back. Hey, man, look, I'd love for Kirk Cousins to prove me wrong, but we'll see, right? I mean,
let me say this. Okay, so Thursday Night Football, the last time we had this, we were right on the bet, by the way. The it was the Redskins. I think Minnesota was favored by 10. We took the Redskins because it was nationally televised game, and the Redskins covered that. So I think it was like a 16-10 game or something like that. Maybe the line was 16 or something. But anyway, so this game, I got to say that I think Minnesota matches up really well with Dallas. But it's a nationally televised game. Sorry, Minnesota fans, I'm taking Dallas to cover the spread. Sorry. It's just from a betting point of view, the percentages are there. You can't ignore them. And look, what I will say is that Thursday night football game, Cousins was 23 of 26 in that game. So he actually played really damn good. If Adam Thielen plays, he's questionable again. I think Minnesota should just, you know, consider resting him, honestly. You know, that hamstring could be tweaked every single game for the rest of the year. You don't want that to happen. But, you know, Dallas played well on Monday night. I think both of these teams are really good. I actually have Minnesota ranked higher in my power rankings. I like them better as a team. I don't bet on Kirk Cousins on primetime television, one of my many rules in gambling. And it has served me well. So, Vikings fans, I understand what you're going to say. And I don't even disagree with what you're saying, and I know it makes your blood boil every time Brad and I pick against Kirk Cousins on national TV, but I think we're going to keep doing it. Dallas this week, I do like a lot of these players, though, in the matchup. I think Dalvin Cook is a definite start. I like Thielen if he plays, but that is a risk, obviously. I like Stephon Diggs for Dallas. Dak Prescott's a start. Ezekiel Elliott's a start. Amari Cooper's a start. Michael Gallup is a start this week, and I think that Jason Witten could get in the end zone as well. So Dallas has some nice ones. I think this will be a nice game. I actually wrote down 27-20, I believe, Dallas, but we'll see. It'll be a fun game to watch. Like I said, this is kind of like last week I took New England over Baltimore when I liked Baltimore's matchup physically with New England. And one of my rules is don't bet against Bill Belichick. Just don't do it. And so I bet on New England, and more, you know, 8 out of 10 times that I'm going to hit on that bet.
That hits, yeah.
And then but I missed it, and I can live with it because percentages over time it works. Same thing this week. I like Minnesota's matchup. I think Minnesota should win this game. I'm betting on Dallas. Sorry, that's how it goes. Last game of the week, Brad. Monday Night Football, huge game. We have Seattle +6 at San Francisco.
Wow. Whew, what a fabulous game.
Fabulous game. Believe me, when Monday Night Football got this game to begin the season, they were not looking. Because remember how down everybody was, not us, but remember how down everybody was on the NFC West?
Not us.
Brad, you picked San Francisco to make the playoffs. I picked Seattle to make the playoffs, and I picked the Rams to win the division. So I picked San Francisco basically being on that fringe, and I think I picked Minnesota over San Francisco, and I'm wrong. That's basically what I'm saying is, hey, you know, we don't get everything right. But Brad, you were on San Francisco early, but you like Seattle as well.
I like Seattle to cover.
Seattle +6, man, that's a big line, right?
It's one of those things like, okay, Russell Wilson is getting 6 points. That's your bet.
That's your bet.
Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, like, oh, they're getting 6 points?
They're getting
6 points.
That's your
bet.
I think San Francisco wins this game. I think it's a close game. I think it's a 28-27 game. Now, I said this famous last words for me a couple weeks ago. I said the same similar kind of thing with San Francisco versus Carolina. I think San Francisco is a better team, okay? I think they will win the game. I think they will win the game. Russell Wilson's having an MVP-like season.
I think that San Francisco is the better team, but I also think that Russell Wilson is the best player on the field.
Uh-huh. I agree with that. I like Shanahan's coaching. Look, I mean, you and I, Brad, I think we're in lock and step here. San Francisco wins the game. Russell Wilson, he's too good of a player to lay 6 points down. We'll take Seattle to cover the spread. San Francisco to win the game, at least for me. I think San Francisco stays undefeated. And remember, San Francisco played on Thursday night last week, so they've had – and they have a Monday night.
Yeah,
so it's almost like a big wait. So good for them. Hopefully San Francisco's a little bit healthier. I know they were banged up in the last couple of weeks. Emmanuel Sanders, what an acquisition this guy's been for San Francisco.
Right.
Garoppolo last week throws for 4 touchdowns. Suddenly you have Debo Samuel kind of dropping down to that number two receiver. You got Bourne and Goodwin and Pettis kind of. Now I love their receiving core now. It was kind of a question mark for me. I'd love it now. You got Kittle at tight end. I love San Francisco again.
Kittle's
Brad.
Baller.
Yeah, man, they're good, but I love Seattle too. Again, close game. I think Seattle loses. San Francisco wins a close game, so we'll take Seattle to cover. Fantasy-wise, although my projection isn't great for Seattle or for Russell Wilson, I think you got to play him. Chris Carson's a play. Tyler Lockett's a play. DK Metcalf at this point might be a weekly play. I think he's a play this week. I actually don't like Jacob Hollister. I've been high on him the last couple weeks. I don't love him in this matchup against San Francisco. For San Francisco, I think Garoppolo is a fringe start. I'd say more no than yes. However, this is dealing with a lot of season-long data, and he's been a little bit of a different quarterback since Sanders got there. So if, you know, I definitely rotate him in some of my daily fantasy lineups. Tevin Coleman's a yes. I say Breida is a no this week. I think Sanders is a definite yes. Debo Samuel's a fringe. And George Kittle, he's questionable, but assuming he plays, he's a definite yes. I think it's a great matchup for Kittle this week. So there you go, Brad. There's a full week of games. I like a lot of these. We actually agree on a lot of them.
Great week. Great week.
Great week, man. I love that Seattle-San Francisco game.
Love it.
I love the Sunday night game. We're getting great. We're getting really nice matchups on the primetime coverage. I like this Chargers-Oakland matchup to begin the week. A lot of good stuff to pick from, man.
A lot of great games. I agree. Great games.
All right, man. Well, on that note, I think we could probably end the old podcast right here. Brad, you have a wonderful week, and hopefully we'll be out, make some money. Everybody out there, go out, make some bets, get paid.